episode 243 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by LaughAtSports.com, your new internet home for the convergence of athletics and comedy. Follow them on the web at LaughAtSports.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
All right, folks, welcome to mini episode number 243. It is the penultimate Pantheon mini episode for Pantheon 7. The 7th time going around here to induct the best of the best. All walks of life in the FDH Lounge. Pantheon 6 sports, specifically non sports, world to non sports number 5. You mentioned that. You're going to hear a couple different references to the Constitution as we go along here. One vote for achieving independence, one vote for democracy. Tim Dustin, good friend of ours, nice fellow, voted for women's suffrage. When I wrote back and I thanked him for his ballot, I said, I must respectfully disagree with you on women's suffrage being a great idea, but great vote nonetheless.
And all two of your female listeners just crashed.
And thus, my efforts to expand the demographic again go up in smoke. One vote, Chris, you had an interesting one here, and it was, you were right, you were the only one to think of it exactly in this way, but the peaceful transition of power. So that's definitely worth taking a look at here. So your thoughts on that one in particular. As you said, we in the notes that you sent to me, we're 100% on this thing. It's never failed yet on this, and other countries really can't say the same by and large.
Well, I think that's the great component of the success of our democracy has been the peaceful transition of power, be it congressional, presidential, whatever, is that at election after election in this country, it is expected that the election is done. You, if you're out of office, you leave, you shake hands with the person who defeated you or the next guy coming in, and that's what's expected, and that's what always happened. And I think we're really the first ones that have done that this long and have established that as part of the most critical component of democracy. There's not a matter of George W. Bush, doesn't want to leave, so he declares there's going to be another election, or there's going to be these tanks are going to surround the White House. Mm-hmm. A lot of countries have seen those types of scenarios play out. And it started with George Washington. I mean, there were people that were calling for him to be king. There were people calling for him to do another term, on and on and on. But he established it by saying, nope, that's it. I'm out. There's going to be a peaceful transfer of power. And it happened, and it has always happened in this country's history. And I think that is probably our most remarkable achievement beyond the obvious of the Constitution itself and whatnot, is our ability to do that year in and year out throughout our history.
You're right that it's one of the more subtle ones, and it's certainly one of the ones we take for granted, because almost everything else in here is flashier than that. That's an excellent point. The next one, a little subtle nonetheless, but probably even less subtle than that, a vote for the Scout Ken Beck's votes for reducing workplace discrimination. One vote, Johnny, you went to national parks as our greatest achievement.
Yeah, but I'm real impressed with Chris's argument for the peaceful transition of power, because really, without that occurring, it really has helped sustain the Declaration of Independence, and you know,
pretty
that
much
sustains
every other
everything.
Thing. Pretty much every other thing
so
on there that's sustained.
I think
it's the cheese of our democracy.
It is. It's the cheese.
Well, the national
everything ties together
in
the
national parks. The national parks could be the mushrooms.
Organic,
by the way.
Put a bookmark in these thoughts about Chris's thing here, because while there's a six-way tie with two votes on the second ballot, from the sounds of it, maybe any of those ones could get leapfrogged by his one. You never know. Next up here, we have one for the Bill of Rights, one for D-Day having occurred, one for A Man on the Moon. Nate Noy, always got to take it a little bit off the beaten path a little bit, but makes you think. Nate says the nuclear bomb is our greatest achievement. So that was kind of interesting. Yeah, Nate's always one to make you think. And one vote for the interstate highway system. So those are all the ones that got one vote apiece.
I think that's a little more of a joke. I mean, have you driven on any of them?
Yeah.
Well, and on some of these, I don't, in my going through this and thinking about some of these, I dismiss some of these because I think of the interstate system. That's not unique to us. The Germans actually invented that.
Okay.
And some of these, D-Day was not just an American operation. There
okay.
were Brits, there were there were French, there were Anzacs, there were Canadians. I mean, I discount that in the sense that.
Okay.
Lot of nations that were eating. Canada had the responsibility of several of securing several beachheads.
Didn't we have some rogue Nazis helping on the nuke bomb?
We had former German scientists
okay.
working on
same
the nuclear
difference.
Bomb. Although certainly an American accomplishment, we got there before the Russians or the Germans.
Yeah.
But that's, you know, that is one as destructive it is that you could consider. If I and you know, everybody knows my first vote.
There's still people that say that was all in theater. That never happened.
Well, then that's an achievement in and of itself, and if they fooled
yeah.
that many people. But I would, you know, of course, that was done with, you know, German scientists helping us develop rockets, you know, technology and blah, blah, blah. So
sure.
I mean, a lot of that's interconnected.
Right.
And that's why I, you know, something like the interstate system is fantastic and it's helped the economic growth of this country. There's no doubt about it. Of course, we didn't invent it. It's not unique to us.
The ones that had one vote were all over the map. So, too, is the case with the ones that had two. We'll start with the one that I voted for that also got another vote in there. I voted for ending slavery because we take a lot of heat for the fact that we had slaves, right? Okay, well, where's the other country that went through a civil war about getting rid of them? That's,
other
we don't
countries
really get
got rid of it without dividing themselves into civil war. Britain got rid of it, what, 80 years before us, somewhere in that ballpark.
That's kind of a
without
buzzkill.
Without any kind of revolution or civil war or anything else, they determined it was morally bankrupt and wrong, and they stopped.
Okay.
So, I mean, I don't know. I mean, I appreciate your thought process on that, but it doesn't, you know, other countries just ended it because it was wrong. We actually had to fight about it.
Well, it was the drama of how we did it that impressed me. Two votes for the Internet coming into to being. Two votes for World War II as a whole. Bob, we were one of the two votes for that. Ironically, the other fellow that voted for World War II also named Bob Benick. So I don't know if there's
Bob. Talk about your World War II vote.
Yeah, I don't.
One of America's greatest achievements was being in it, starting it, ending it. What was our?
This is our PDX film stat of the day. Votes for World War II by guys named Bob 2. Votes for World War II by guys not named Bob 0. I have no idea what the correlation of that is. But what were your thoughts on that, Bob? I mean, it's pretty interesting. I mean, you know, we jumped in. I guess, you know, we helped make the difference in that one, right? And it was pretty important what we did. So
I like hearing everybody, the theories that other countries have added. And this is not purely, obviously, an American initiative. But just thinking if we didn't win it, what the rest of the future may have held or not held.
Good point. Two votes for inventing the airplane. two votes here for the U.S. Constitution, and in another example of block voting by the Patron brothers, two votes for freedom in general. So that was what you guys brought to the party collectively here. So
you know. There are still a lot of nations that aren't free.
Okay.
And there's still a lot of people who can't come to this wonderful establishment and do a show like the Pantheon or do, you know, anything they want to. There's still people who are told daily where they work, what they eat, when they eat, what they do. And we just take that for granted.
So it wasn't the Philadelphia World Team Tennis that made you think about that?
Very nice. Very nice. If anybody was going to be able to reach back like that, it was going to be Bob. That's outstanding. So there, all of those ones have two votes apiece: ending slavery, the Internet, World War II, inventing freedom, or inventing the airplane freedom in the U.S. Constitution. From the sounds of it, ending slavery will not be getting more than two votes, I suppose. But any of the rest of them could possibly.
It's not because we don't think it was a good thing. It's just because.
So,
don't think that's the only reason.
Yeah. So, in looking at these, but as I say, on the second ballot, you can vote for anybody. And again, the cheese on the pizza. You know, Chris having had a chance. It's amazing here. You know, providing the chance for anybody to go Perry Mason on these things here. Anthony able to swing some votes over for "Exposed" by Vince Neil as the best underappreciated music album. And here in this in this one, the peaceful transition of power as a foundation for a lot of the things in the country. I'll go with that. So I'll cast a second vote for it on the tiebreaker ballot.
I am going to do the same and cast my vote for peaceful transition of power because if you look at it, it's like Chris said, the foundation of this country is based on that somebody can walk out the door, hey, you're in charge now, see ya, I'm out. And nobody fights. People are upset with it. People have their problems with it, but they get there and they do it.
Okay.
I got to go for the cheese as well. I mean, if we didn't have the cheese, if we just have one person decided, hey, you know what?
Okay.
I'm going to say.
He's like Homer Simpson.
I'm going to say.
He can't stop thinking.
Hey, come on.
It.
I like cheese. without that, if one person just decided, hey, you know what? I'm done with this. Ain't nobody taking over but me. I'm staying here.
Right.
We might not have the freedoms that we do. We might not have the invention of the plane or the internet or the highways. That one person might have just roadblocked everything. We might not have been able to end slavery.
Yeah.
Had to get that in.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah. Nice mental process. Way to tie it all together there, Floyd Mayweather. But that was – I love how everything ended up being cheese.
Cheese, come on.
Everything tied back to that. All right, so this is doing pretty well on the second ballot thus far. Bob, second ballot vote for you, my friend.
Even though I don't eat cheese, I'm going to go with the cheese.
Okay. unanimous so far. Yeah. I mean, we got our winner, but let's just hear for the record what the last ones are. Johnny?
Well, I think we take for granted what a remarkable example Washington set at the beginning when our country first began. And I have to Chris convinced me that while our country got some skeletons in the closet or some things we've done not so well, I think that's one of the things that we all should be proud of. So that's got my vote.
Okay. All right. And then that's sweeping the second ballot, except you're ineligible to vote for that one there.
So
but
the
do you have a second one, second choice for the record, or if you abstain, it's unanimous on the second ballot?
I think the United States of America has been a nation of innovation since day one. And when I look at things like the atom bomb or the internet, they're both remarkable creations that are changing lives for good or for ill. Potentially, mm-hmm. On both accounts, frankly.
Okay.
The internet has expanded our ability in terms of knowledge and communication, but it has also created, unfortunately, an even broader web that's brought us closer to more and more Big Brother type activities. When you have something, somebody like the NSA now has a massive complex out in the desert in Nevada where they monitor all internet traffic and all emails, and they can dig through all that stuff. those kinds of things are disturbing.
Be careful what you say. They're going to come
and
get you.
Well, they'll listen to this. Conceivably, they could. They have computer algorithms that can whip right through what we're saying here. That's disturbing to me. And those, I think, are those types of things, I believe, are the real threats to our democracy in the future. And we will be tested as a people in the future on how we're going to handle things like that.
Okay.
But I would say my vote, my second vote's going to go for putting a man on the moon.
Okay.
Because of what that did from a technology standpoint, what it brought us in terms of the space program, the technologies that have been developed because of the space program, the science investment that has made everybody's lives better, from microwaves to the internet to Tang. I mean, you name it. I mean, it's, you know, the space program has been a real catalyst for technological development and even consumer products, and has been something that helped create an even faster-paced, innovative society, which the United States of America is. So that gets my second vote.
And in terms of MREs, meals ready to eat, it's had development of certain types of food. Actually, on December 21st, the day that the world was supposed to end, I was with my brother and his family down at the survivalist store and purchased some fine survivalist three cheese lasagna. Would that have even been around were it not for the moon program?
How tasty. But I think we all, you talk about taking things for granted. You think about putting a man on the moon and returning him.
Yeah.
That's a remarkable achievement. And we did that with basically 1950s-esque technology in 1969 that even today, you know, the Chinese are saying, well, in 2022 or so, we're going to put a man on the moon. Great, we did it with vacuum tubes and tinfoil, basically, and computers that had
a fraction
of the computing ability of my phone.
Yeah.
That's I was just to say, your telephone has more technology than they had going up to this space.
This has probably got 100 times more capacity, or probably 1,000, 10,000 times more computing ability than the ability to get to the moon. And I look at what we did when we did it. On the technology that we did it on, I mean, that is remarkable. We took a man off of the Earth. How many tens of thousands of years of man looked up at the moon and said, what is that thing? And, you know, how do we get there? And the fact that we did it. We put a guy, we launched him, we strapped men to basically a controlled explosion and blasted them off this planet, landed them on the moon, and then brought them back successfully. That is amazing.
It truly is.
Even if it happened today.
But it still doesn't take the cheese.
Yeah.
Even think about the return. I mean, even the return, how dicey that was. It's
the reentry through the,
There's a company that's now looking for applicants, for those who are interested, that want to start a Martian colony. And they are looking for people that are certainly younger now, because they're looking to do this in 10 or 15, probably about 15 years. And you have to go into it with the understanding that you probably won't come back. That they will, over a series of years, launch the things that you will need to create a colony to live, supplies, to cat places, you know, sleeping quarters, oxygen. It'll all be going there. When you get there, you and your team will have to assemble things. But the chances of you actually being able to come back are very slim. They say that they would work on trying to find ways to, you know, to return the people, but there's always the possibility you might not be able to. And they're looking for people that are willing to sign up for this program, that are willing to take that, to be that first human on Mars. And I suspect they'll have a lot of takers because, you know, it's a historical thing.
To have that honor to say, yep, that was really good.
You think about it, your first thought is, boy, that's kind of crazy. Who would basically volunteer to just, like, you know, you're going to die on another planet or
something? Deadbeats who are desperate to get off the grid.
But here's the deal. You think of early explorers, they kind of did the same thing.
Yeah.
They knew the odds of them dying were high. They knew trying to get around the planet, Magellan or whatnot. You know, when the first ones went out there, they thought they might fall off the edge of the Earth.
Right.
I mean, they didn't know what they were going to encounter.
That's true.
And so they risked it all. And so I think that, you know, those are the type of things that with our peaceful transition of power, what it affords us, and our ability to continue to grow an economy and to build a more robust democratic those are the type of things that we have to be refocusing our country on. You know, going back to the moon, going to Mars, advancing humankind in general. I think right now, at least for the forthcoming numbers of decades and maybe 100, 200 years, the United States is going to continue to be the leader in those things, in advancing the human condition as it relates to our future.
Absolutely. And again, props to you. You brought enough people over on this one. Peaceful transition of power coming out of nowhere. We hoist the Dundee Award for the penultimate one here today, best achievement by the USA. That is the induction into the FDH Lounge Pantheon. Best, the peaceful transition of power.
I have my candidate for the first Martian trip. A few, they're not necessarily young. Larry and Paul Dolan, Mark Shapiro, and his marionette.
Yeah, I'll second that one.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, all Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classics, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Aquafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.